Sucks.
You're tuned into Rosie on the House, Arizona's number one weekend talk program for 28 years. In the 8 o'clock hour, we talk landscape and gardening with Jay Harper and you, the Arizona homeowner, just like Jennifer here with a question on a willow tree. Welcome, Jennifer. How may we help you?
Hi. I have a desert willow that is about a year old, and during a windstorm, the top half broke off, and it's continuing to grow. So should I trim off the lower branches and let it grow from the top, or should I just continue just let it grow as is?
Well, I guess it depends on how tall it is now, and certainly the more growth you can leave on any tree for a while, the faster it will grow. The more foliage, the more photosynthesis, the more energy that the tree is able to produce, the faster it's going to grow and get back. So there's no big hurry to prune the lower limbs off. If you're wanting it to be more like a tree, then you will eventually want to remove some of those, but there is no hurry to do that necessarily. So
it's only about 4 feet tall.
So. Well, then I wouldn't take anything off of it at this point. I wouldn't do a thing.
We appreciate the call, and from there, let's move to Kathy, who wants to talk about a pepper tree on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Kathy, go ahead with your question, ma'am.
Yes, I have a pepper tree, and it's over 20 years old, and the shoots from the on the roots keep popping out all over the gravel. We keep getting little trees all over, and we keep picking them off. But I was wondering if there's anything that we could do to permanently eliminate that.
Not really. It's just one of those trees that does that. In fact, that tree in some places that have a lot of moisture, like Florida, are considered an invasive species, and in some places they're not even allowed to be planted. We generally don't have too big a problem with it here because we don't have a lot of moisture. But there's just not a whole lot you can do but continue to remove them as they come up.
You think they'll ever outlaw the sisus, speaking of invasive and roots?
I think the sisu gets a really bad rap, quite honestly. It generally isn't much of a problem till you cut it down.
Then it goes into survival mode.
Then it does that.
Sprouts everywhere.
While it's growing and thriving in the landscape, we have very few issues. We've got two great big ones in the nursery, and we're watering all around them, all over the place. And we don't have very many shoots that come up that are a problem at all. So I think there's a place for the tree. I think people misplant it because it gets big, a lot bigger, and so they put it into places that they shouldn't have to begin with. And then when you go to cut it down, then you have some issues. But I still think there's a place for that tree. You just, like any tree or any plant, you need to make sure you're putting it in the right place.
Let's take Peggy in Tucson next on the line about her ash tree. Good morning, Peggy, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. I called about a month ago or maybe 6 weeks about a Fantix ash that we had neglected. And we've been watering, like you said, long time, deep watering, and the leaves are coming back. And you told me to water and pray, so I've done that. But the thing I'm wondering, some of the, where the leaves have not come back, should I just leave those things grow?
I wouldn't do anything until this winter, and the tree will lose all its leaves come wintertime. It'll go deciduous in its dormancy.
Yes.
Then, sometime while it's bare, you could go in and analyze branches and remove the dead ones and or wait till they do start to just bud out and take them off. But I wouldn't do anything probably yet.
We appreciate the call, Peggy. On that last break, Jay, Dad and I were talking, do you have a way you like to water your container gardens? They do take a little bit more moisture just because they are off the ground and it drains out a little faster. Do you have an automatic water? You do yours by hand? Do you have mechanical help?
Well, the last few that we've put in, we've put on on an automatic sprinkler timer on their own valve. so they can be run independently. And we like the soaker tubing. So you run a drip tubing, a main half-inch tubing to them, and then run the soaker tubing around the top so you can kind of move it around. It kind of just soaks the whole area. The other thing we like to do if it's a big enough raised garden is even put some valves on it. So if you only need half of it, you can turn half of it off, that sort of thing. But I think it definitely needs to be on its own valve so you can control whether there, you know, how much water it's getting, if it's even getting any water at all at certain times. But I think the soaker tubing is a lot more flexible when it comes to a vegetable garden or a raised flower garden, so you don't have to have a little emitter going to every one of your plants.
And how long do you let that soaker hose run?
You know, they vary. You really got to just run it and see how long it takes for the whole area to get saturated and wet. They're kind of inexact. They don't all, percolate or ooze out at the same rate. So you just, it's one of those things you have to turn it on and watch it the first time until you can decide that.
And you're on your way to Harper's Nursery for hot dogs and horticultural coming up here in a few hours.
Yep, Jeff and I are doing the grilling and talking today. So come on down. We've got lots of new veggies in, new onion sets, new flowers, and we're ready to answer your questions.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.